Hello and welcome to another episode of City on a Hill, a podcast about what it means to be a citizen of heaven and a citizen of the United States. We want to encourage Christians to find their tribe in the church and their hope in the kingdom of God, rather than to seek both in the kingdom of man. So with that, let's get to it today.
Well, hello, I'm Eric Estep.
And I'm Scott Reevely.
And this is the City on a Hill podcast. Welcome back, listeners. Welcome back, Scott. Scott, we just had a moment talking about to-do lists. That's really all I want to talk about on this episode. But
is it?
It is, but it's not what we're going to talk about. But we had a moment, and listeners, I don't know if you can relate, but I confessed to him that I like checking off things on a to-do list so often that sometimes after finishing a task, I will go back and add it to the list just so I can check it off in my app. And he looked at me askance for a little while and then admitted, I do the same thing.
And I'm going to just guess that some of you do the same thing as well. And I consider it a virtue, not a vice. So there you go. I mean, congratulations. Way to get stuff done.
Exactly. Get stuff done. I love it.
Getting things done is important.
Well, there's something that may be on all of your lists still, even though it's Tuesday, November 5th. As you're listening to this, today is Election Day.
I hope you've checked that off already.
I hope you've checked that off. Frankly, I hope I've checked that off. I don't know.
I have. I've already voted.
I don't know if I have yet.
Okay.
Well, I know at this moment.
You don't know if you have?
I know at this moment that I have not, but I don't know when the listeners are listening whether I will have done it or not. That's what I'm not sure about. So,
wow.
Listeners, we're going to help you out. If you are.
We're going to help Eric out.
Sounds like. Eric out, yeah. So I just want to go back a little bit. For the last two episodes, we did it 2 weeks ago. We did a liturgy for Election Day, just a prayer. And then last week we did two prayers. Scott wrote those out and read those. And I hope I listened to them. I hope they were helpful for you. Really, at the end of the day, that's going to be really impactful work that you can do is connect with God about election, about your own heart in the election, about your own wants and desires, and maybe your own disappointments in the election. So we did those because we think those are most beneficial and most helpful. Today, we're going to talk about some voting stuff, not because we think, oh, this is the most important thing. We already did the most important stuff, and we figured you're probably going to listen anyway, so we might as well talk some more. But
what?
I just want to underscore the prayer piece is far more important, and we've gotten at least a couple questions since then. Just saying, hey, I think I still need some help. We have to vote, and there's questions about how do we do that. So we want to do two things today. We're going to give you the City on a Hill podcast voter's guide, firmly tongue-in-cheek there. But we're going to do that, and then we're going to talk about, you know, what can you do on Wednesday? Today's Election Day. It's Tuesday. But really, what can you do on Wednesday and every other day of the year that's not an Election Day? Because you're a citizen throughout the year, you're a member of your city, a neighbor all the time, and only a portion of the time is voting the action that you need to do. There's many other things you can do. So let's start with our little voter's guide. We've been avoiding a voter's guide for years.
Well, actually, voter's guides are one of the things that got us started. Seriously, weren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember. One of the first conversations we had about this, I mean, in all honesty, I hadn't thought much about voter's guides. They come in the mail and people ask for them. And then and we began to talk about it. And I think Eric was part of convincing me that, well, you know, maybe we won't just wrap those into, like, put those out on the church.
I think, you know, I recall thing. Seeing them. And bringing one, and I stood in the door of your office and was like, what is this?
you might have been more respectful than that. But anyway, it was a good conversation, one of the first ones we had about politics. And there's been a lot of water under the bridge then. So
just a
little
bit.
That's why he mentioned tongue-in-cheek on a voter's guide, is because that's a little bit of what got us started on this. So. But I think as far as voter's guide goes, you know, it's one thing for us to just go blah, 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 blah for 3 years about the church and politics and the kingdom and now you're a citizen of heaven, all the things, right? Until you sit down on the table, you spread out the little pamphlet that tries to explain stuff.
Or and, tries to not explain stuff.
Yeah, that is, you know, you can't understand anyway. And then you got the little, you know, ovals to, or is it boxes or ovals? I don't remember. It's boxes.
It's hanging chads.
It's not hanging chads. But anyway, you're sitting there with your black pen trying to get everything colored in. And, you know, that's when it'd be great if mm-hmm. Eric would just say, here, you don't have to engage your brain. Just do it this way.
That's really funny. So let's go through our step-by-step.
That's funny.
It's funny because I'm looking at the list of our voter's guide, and that doesn't help you do that at all. So we basically have a step-by-step list. You're sitting down. It's time to vote.
It's a checklist. It's not checklist. A voter's guide.
Yes. There we go.
There you go.
And frankly, if you're listening right now, you don't have a lot of time, and you should should probably get to this. But
this is a checklist you're going to use when you vote, isn't it, Eric?
Exactly.
That's what we're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. And these are good reminders for me, too. But the first one is, you're going to be surprised, listeners, but pray first. You should, you got the pen, you got the paper out, put them down and maybe fold your hands and just close your eyes and pray for a little bit. God, help me with this. I don't want to put all of my hopes and dreams into this. I want to be a good steward. I want to be a good neighbor. I want to do the wise thing and choose the wise way and give with my little voice that I have wisdom into this world. And it's not always clear how to do that. So I would recommend praying first as the as your first step when you're voting. The second one is learn. And frankly, if you're doing this today, you probably don't have a lot of time to learn. But don't just jump in and go, okay, I'll just wing it. There's a lot of stuff on that ballot. There's in Oregon, there's ballot initiatives that can come into play where people get enough signatures and throw them on the ballot and, hey, we want to do this. We want to change the Constitution this way or change the law this way and learn. Some of that's reading the voter's guide. Some of that is doing some research or just pondering what would happen if this change was made. Would it be good? Would it be beneficial? Trying to ponder what would the trade-offs be if something were to change or not change.
And if you were to get a voter's guide that would be helpful, they would explain. A lot of them will say, we recommend a no vote here because, and then they'll explain what they think will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's because really some of it is that there are intended consequences and there are unintended consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't know, 40 years of voting has told me anything, that it's that the unintended consequences often outnumber the mm-hmm. intended consequences mm-hmm. By a large margin. And so I would say, yeah, if you can learn, you can, if you can read a voter's guide, that's not all bad, even though.
Yeah. Maybe pit them against each other too.
If you can get several, that'd be yeah. ideal.
And a lot of the learning happens. I enjoy these type of things. So I'm constantly learning what policies or what ideas would be beneficial or not beneficial. So that's just kind of part of my general reading or listening, which benefits me when I go to vote because I've been pondering these types of things for a while and it's not, this is the one time. This is the one time I need to deal with these type of things. So you could use this as a challenge for next 2 years from well, now. Hey, maybe I can start learning a little bit now so that I'm more prepared.
A little bit earlier?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think that's one of the things that is worth kind of talking about is that one of the ways people learn things is by making mistakes.
Hmm.
And I think that you've got to give yourself some grace on this. I mean, because mm-hmm. probably you're not going to really learn anything about the Water Conservation Board in time to help you.
Mm.
I mean, that's not in the pamphlet.
Right,
that's
right.
not in the voter's guides. I mean, there's a lot that I just couldn't figure out about that.
Sure.
And, you know, I look outside and the water's coming down from the sky and like, why do we need a water conservation?
This is Oregon.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
So anyway, all that to say, you know, you may make a mistake and you may not get it right. And, or you may raise a question from a ballot measure or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of thing that you'll pay attention to maybe in the next few years so that you're better prepared next time. And I guess that's some of what you might even pray for is just grace if mm-hmm. it doesn't work out like you think it should. So And that's related, I think, to, you know, you mentioned it, but just choosing wisdom. Because one of the reasons you need this is that you get language, whether it's on a ballot measure or they're asking for money or they're asking, you know, is there an initiative that's going to raise money for parks or schools or whatever. And then you read the fine print and, well, they're already charging me that, mm-hmm. you know, so I'm already paying for that. So then is it going to really change? And you just all these things and you just sure. have to say, okay, what really is the wise thing and what outcome? And the thing is, I think there are a lot of times that people want, people who will vote differently want the same outcome. Mm, they just, yeah. in choosing wisdom, they think that the wisest way to the outcome we desire is, you know, check the first box, and other people think it's to check the second box. And so basically that's what you're doing, is you're trying mm-hmm. to find the wisest way to human flourishing. And, you know, if you disagree with the people in your household, even that, it's usually a kind of a community effort at our house. We just talk about it and disagree, and mm-hmm. then take great pleasure in canceling each other out.
Nice.
But anyway, but I think that's what it is choosing wisdom, and how is this going to help, you know, our city, our mm-hmm. county, our state, our nation. And just do the best you can. That's what choosing wisdom is.
Right. And so many of the options that we are given, it's not always clear.
It's 100% yeah. all go, 100% no go.
Yeah, it's never clear. And also, especially at the initiative level and the changing the law level, there's rarely going to be an obvious, oh, this is the Christian position. This is the way God would have things interact in the world. A lot of it is, we're just trying to figure out what would bring about the best human flourishing, the most human flourishing. And that's not always obvious. So when you're going here trying to vote, I like, Scott, what you said about having a little bit of grace and ask God to help you realize, like, hey, I'm just gonna try my best and try to figure this out. And it's, in this life, it's not gonna be clear, oh, this is always the best option, and this is always the right principle. It might not even be obvious what principles you're trying to apply, because there's just so much complexity in these things. So,
well, one other thing just about wisdom, we were talking about ballot measures probably more than we normally do. That might have been something we could have talked about earlier, but the reality is your vote on those things is probably much more influential. The result is much more close to home than anything you're going to worry about with the presidential election.
Mm, mm-hmm.
See, I think a lot of, again, the press time is all gone yep. for a presidential election, but it's really the things at the county and state and city levels that, number one, your vote will count more, mm-hmm. and two, the results of that, you will feel those results mm-hmm. in a different way than you might a national election. So
right.
that's part of the wisdom, is just recognizing that that all of the boxes you check don't weigh equally.
Right. So moving on from ballot initiatives, there's a lot of people on your ballot, because we live in a representative democracy. The way we govern is through representatives, and you choose people at various levels to represent you at either the legislature or the city council or the county commission or Congress. And there's lots of people to vote for. So we've mentioned it many times before. Our recommendation is to look at each person and ask the question, does this person have the character appropriate for the position they are pursuing? And if yes, you can ask the second question. Do they have the policies that I would prefer they implement in the position they're trying to gain? And if you can answer yes to both of those, great, but you can vote for that person. And if my view, I think our view is, if you say no to either of those questions, then don't vote for that person. And if you have a whole list of people and you said no enough times that there's no one left, I'd say write in someone that you can say yes to both of those about. That's our encouragement.
Well, let me ask you a practical question on that, because this came up,
and I'm okay.
You're going to see this here in a little bit when you get around to it, Eric. But there are a number of positions where there's only one person on the ballot,
mm.
Do you still do the character and policy thing, or do you just say, it's one person on the ballot, I'm participating, here we go, and check the box?
Oh, interesting. No, I'd probably default the other way, actually.
Okay.
Some of those, there's been times I've looked at that and went, one, I'll read whatever they put down, or if they don't even do the work to actually put a statement or something, like, okay, you're not even willing to do the work to put a statement because you just know you're going to, like, that's not a very good steward. That's not very good stewardship. And I will, I
it
have
might
not.
Be they say they're $500 or whatever.
Sure. But they're, usually they're judges. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of judges that way. But there's been plenty I've not voted in those because, okay. And I go back to the way we're talking about ballot initiatives. Sometimes it's, I don't know if this is good or bad. And I don't want to decide one or the other because I don't know which is going to have a worse trade-off or worse unintended consequence. So I think it's okay to go, you know what? I don't have enough information to actually give a good input into this question. So I'm going to skip the question. It's not a test.
There you go. It's not a test. And that's part of the reason I ask is I think that we generally don't give ourselves permission to leave things blank.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can.
Yeah, totally.
Now, I have a little story about this and tests, but I'm maybe too embarrassed to say it on the air.
Oh, he started, folks, and now he's going to back out. Let's see what happens.
No, I don't know. I was a sophomore in high school or something, and we went to some kind of state math competition or something, and I was no great shakes at math, but I did okay in my class.
I loved the math team. I was totally on math team.
Well, yeah, I didn't. We didn't have a math team. Anyway, so we went and you did like a test for your grade level, and I don't know, it was algebra or something, and then the next one was trigonometry, which I didn't know why it said log this or log that or anything, you know, or sine this or cosine that or anything. So, but I guessed, right? Mm-hmm. And turns out that on this particular test, you get like 2 points for right answer and minus one for a wrong answer. And on that exam, I ended up negative. How good am I at math? I'm like minus in math.
I didn't get a zero on this test. I got less
than
zero. That's
right. Wow. Not everyone can claim that. But yes, in fact. So what I learned there, it's good to leave some things blank rather than guess. There you go.
Fantastic. Well, yeah, voting is not a test. That's a great story. I love that. It's okay to say, you know what, I don't know enough, or there's one person on this ballot and I don't agree with them, so I'm not going to give them my vote. That's almost a good logical test case for why you would give a vote to someone if there's two people on the ballot. If you would say, you know what, I don't agree with this person, so why would I vote with them? Vote for them. So that's our recommendation on the character side. I think we've said before, I think there's scenarios where if you're not tied up in it, you could say, you know what, I think this person will be the least damaging, and you could approach it that way. My caution there is I think it's very hard to hold cynicism for a long time, and especially the more prominent that position becomes, especially like the presidential election, there's so much energy, so much coverage given. If you vote out of cynicism or out of lesser evil type scenario, it's hard to hold those two things in your head. And eventually you're going to say, I voted for the lesser evil. I voted for lesser evil. And eventually you're going to go, you know what, I wouldn't vote for evil. And you start to defend things you wouldn't have normally defended because it's just hard to live in cynicism. It's hard to live in supporting things, supporting character you know to be wrong, or policies you know to be wrong. So obviously, I think that applies in this election with President Trump and Vice President Harris. But that can go all the way down. You're going to look at congressional candidates. You're going to look at city councilors. And I don't see a reason to sear my conscience about any representative if I don't agree with them, that they have the character necessary or the policies necessary. And I'd rather just not sear my conscience on those things. So that's our recommendation. Anything you want to add to that?
I think you covered it, I think.
Okay. The next checklist item for our voter's guide is pray last. pray first, learn as much as you can, choose wisdom, choose character and policy for people, but then pray last. We're making it prominent that the most important thing you can do is be connected to God and talk with Him about your participation as a neighbor in your city or county or state or nation. And listeners, I want you to be connected. I far more want you to be connected to Him than I care about how you vote. And that's why we want to emphasize those things. And if you're talking with God, frankly, one of the things He mentions most, and we just preached through a couple passages where He says this at least once, but one of the things He says most is, do not be afraid. And so much about the election cycle is appeals to fear, appeals to mocked up catastrophes that maybe we can convince you to give money or give your vote or give your support. There's so much appealing to fear throughout the election cycle, and we belong to a King that does not appeal to fear. And that's why we want you to pray first and last, because if you're a kingdom citizen, you should be, you should have a posture, and you should be defined by lack of fear because you're connected to the King of the universe.
Well, or to put it another way, if all you have is here, maybe you can be afraid.
Right. Yep.
And that's some of the reason that's such a good ploy for politicians, is that they're appealing to most people, and all the hope that they have is in this life.
Right.
And so if that's all you got, then go ahead and be afraid. But if you have hope for the kingdom of heaven, then I think you can do better than being afraid.
Right.
And again, I mean, this whole don't be afraid just really is frustrating for me, because people make bad decisions when they're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, my favorite commercial actually is several years old, and they're still showing it. There's these young people, it's a Geico commercial, and they talk about making bad decisions, and they are afraid something's chasing them, and they say, no, let's go get in the running car. No, don't get in the running car. Let's go hide behind the chainsaws. And there's all these chainsaws swinging in this garage. And they said, yeah, let's do. And they go hide there. And then the guy who's going to kill him is right there, you know. And it's just like you make bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're afraid. And that's what those kids did in the commercial. But I think that's what we do when that gets a hold of us. Mm-hmm. And we fail then to love our neighbor because we become afraid of our neighbor. And so I just, we just can't say that enough. And we've tried for 3 years now to encourage you not to be afraid, and we're taking one more swing at it.
Yeah, and I hope all of this is just review, really. I hope you're going, yeah, you guys have said this before. Yeah, we have, and I hope it continues to be the refrain.
Boring.
And, and just a reminder, well, my hope for you guys is if you are seeing an ad or you see an appeal to fear, my hope would be that you are actually just sad about that and you go, this actually works on people. And just feel sadness for your neighbors that maybe this is all they have. This is the extent of reality that they understand. And to have some of that jeopardized or potentially taken away, that is fearful if this is it. But you belong to a kingdom that cannot pass away, and a king that they tried to kill him and they couldn't even keep him dead. That's the king you belong to, and you are with Christ. So I would hope that you understand that to the degree that when you see someone trying to appeal to your fear, you go, oh, that doesn't work. I have armor for that. That doesn't make any sense. And I'm actually sad that does work for people. And I want to go care for those people so that they understand a better reality. So that's our voter's guide. I hope it's a little bit, really? That's the voter's guide? Because what it means to be a citizen is, there's a lot more to what it means to be a citizen. There's a lot more to what it means to be a voter than just voting. It's voting day, so we thought we'd talk about those things. But I want to give a little caution. If you reduce all of your actions, the actions you take in being a good citizen, if you reduce that down to just voting, that's going to put way too much emphasis on voting. That's because the only thing you do, voting is going to become uber important. And voting the right way is going to become uber important. And I don't think it deserves that level of intensity. I think you should vote. I think it's awesome. I think it's a cool privilege. I think it's wonderful that we get the ability to do that. And I think you should steward those things. But there's so many other things you can do. And if all you do is voting, and you don't pay any attention to any of this stuff, when it comes around, you're going to go, oh my goodness, I better vote the right way. I better vote the Christian way. And you're going to be susceptible to that type of argumentation when it's, you better vote. You better be a good steward and vote the Christian way. And we've talked about how probably is no good Christian way to vote. But I want to give caution to that as we are wrapping up election day.
And you think about voting. I mean, the early church in particular went from, you know, zero to overtaking the Roman Empire without a single vote.
Mm-hmm.
And it simply was doing all the other things that good neighbors do, that good mm-hmm. citizens do, that loving people do, that change the world. It wasn't how they voted on, you know, the first Tuesday in November.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I again, is part of the reason that we're banging the drum again, is just to say it isn't that important.
Mm-hmm.
And there are more important things you can do. And so on this election day, we want to sort of pull the page of the calendar off and mm-hmm. say there's another calendar day tomorrow.
Yeah.
Then what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Are you done being a citizen, or is right. there something else to do tomorrow?
Yeah, I know it's crazy, but listeners, you're going to be a neighbor tomorrow. There's things you can do yeah. to be a good neighbor tomorrow. And our interest is not convinced, like, that's where our voter's guide is a little bit less descriptive than others. It's not, our interest is not in changing how you vote, but our interest is definitely in changing how you interact politically. And that includes whatever you're going to do tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And we want you to ponder that and think, okay, hey, what am I actually going to do? How am I going to love my neighbors well? Yeah, we have a list, the things that you could do.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, you vote once a year.
Mm-hmm.
You live in a city every day of the year. Mm-hmm. You interact with the government and the political and the public good like every single day, even though you only vote, you know, once every year or every 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you just wait once every 2 years for one thing that you can do, yeah, you will make it more important than it needs
mm-hmm.
to be.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're thinking like every day is an opportunity for me to be involved in the public good, you know, then the game completely changes.
Right, right. So I'll just start with a list of things you can do. And this is going to be crazy, folks, but it's going to start with praying.
Let me guess. Oh, I missed my chance.
Pray all the time. And I think I mentioned it before, but I have on my list a prayer, I think it's Thursdays, that I pray for. I just have a prayer list for political leaders. And I'm constantly praying that God would give wisdom to our political leaders so that that we can live quiet and godly lives. That's a common prayer request for me in a way which really changes me in the way I interact.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I know God is listening and answering that prayer, but also it changes the way I interact in the world. And relate to my representatives, even if I disagree with them, all of those things.
And you say you even if I disagree with them. I mean, one of the things praying will do is it will help you to believe the best.
Mm-hmm.
See, I mean, I think there are going to be a lot of people make decisions I don't like or agree with, but I can get all sour, or mm-hmm. I can say, you know what? They're trying to do their best, and they're trying to figure out a way really for the same kind of thing I want.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they picked a different way. And I can believe the best about that person.
Right.
And that makes me a better neighbor and a better human being
right.
than somebody who's just all sour and complaining. So,
which reminds me of a non-Christian way to vote, I think. I've heard a lot of people say, vote so at least you can, then you have a right to complain. And they're like, yeah, I don't think that's I don't think that's a very Christian way to vote.
Or don't blame me. I voted for, you know,
the other guy or whatever. Yeah, that's developing a different posture, not one that is connected to the God of the universe.
Please don't put that bumper sticker on your car.
Yeah. The next one is just be a good neighbor. We can start interacting in our city at the street level, and there's people next to you. They may live 100 feet from you. They may live several hundred feet from you. But you can be a good neighbor. You can, maybe it starts with just saying hello to them and asking them what their name is. Maybe you've sat in your house for a while and you don't even know who your neighbors are. You can be a good neighbor and find ways to interact with them, find ways to build a relationship with them, eventually serve them, it starts at the street level. It doesn't have to be at the national level to be a good neighbor and a good citizen. Serving is on the list as well. This can happen in many ways, but if we're pursuing, if you're voting and trying to figure out how do I pursue the most amount of human flourishing, you can fill that bubble, and that can be kind of effective. It might change something. I hope it does. But you can be far more impactful with your time and with your resources and with your talents by serving, by maybe engaging a nonprofit that's trying to help people or feed people or take care of the needs that are happening in the city or in the county. There are immense needs that, you're not going to believe this, cannot be solved entirely by the government. But there are people that want to love their neighbors nonetheless, and they give their time and resources and treasure to meet the needs where they are and help the most vulnerable among us, whether it's Pregnancy Resource Center or homeless ministries. There's hundreds of ways that you could connect and serve and be very impactful in the way you live in the city. Another thing I think about, I just wrote practice ruling, and this is something that always kind of surprises me. I don't always think about it this way when I'm reading the Bible, but there's an assumption. If you're in Christ, you're a co-heir with Christ. Christ is a king. You're a co-heir with Christ. You are a fellow recipients of the goodness that the king of the universe is going to get. And one of those things, Jesus is going to be ruling. And the way the Bible talks about it is that we're gonna rule with Christ. 2 Timothy says, the saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. And in 1 Corinthians, it just assumes it to be true. Paul's talking about this squabbling they're having with each other. And he says, when one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to law before unrighteous instead of the saints? Or do you know that the saints will judge the world? It's just his reasoning. Like, don't you guys realize that eventually you're going to rule the world? And when I think about, hey, what should I do here? If I'm anticipating the coming kingdom where I'm a co-heir with Christ, where I'm a ruler with Christ, I can practice ruling now. I could put myself in a scenario where I have to figure out what would be a good decision. How do I decide how this thing should be ruled or how this thing should be governed? And listeners, there's so many opportunities to serve in this capacity. It's very, very easy. And if you think, oh, I don't have what it takes, I don't have the skills or the capacity, frankly, you can join a room and you're going to go, oh, no one really knows what's going on. It's okay. This is okay. And you can, it's very easy to join a committee or a board at your city. You could volunteer for the HOA. You could join the PTA, whatever. There's lots of different things where ruling is occurring. And I like the way of thinking about it. Let's practice, because we're going to do it in the future in the new heaven, the new earth. And we have opportunity to practice now, which is not always true in all of time and history. But it happens to be true because of the system we live in. So that's pretty cool.
Well, I've never really thought about it that way, I guess. I've tried to avoid boards and committees. So
I just snuck that one in there.
Thank you for pushing me a little bit.
Yeah.
One of the things I did learn recently, and I learned it while I was voting, because one of the people for our city council is up for re-election, the chairperson, and you can go to coffee with them. You can just put that on your calendar, and I mean, like, straight away. You don't need an introduction or anything. And I thought, how cool is that? I've already done that with the chief of police, and you can do that with city councilman too.
Well, let me tell you, if you do that and then say, hey, I want to get involved, what can I do?
I bet
you could be on a board. You could be doing something real fast. Just letting you know.
Now you just scared everyone away. But the other thing you can do, I mean, another thing that would do is you would have it would give you insight into how other people who are trying to work for the common good see the needs of the community. And even if you don't want to do it with them, you want to do it through the church or you want to do it some other way, learning about it first is probably a really good idea. And they would be great teachers.
Yep. What's the next one?
Well, one of the things you can do is you can bear witness to the reality of the resurrection. There you go. It sounds like it's kind of religious, but it really isn't. There is a new world, and you can introduce it to people, and that's going to be one of the things that's, I think, really, really needed when there's a lack of hope. So
And a little tip there. I read this in the Six Conversations book that we've recommended before. But the little tip was, she just said, you know what? Just pretend like everyone believes the same thing you do, and that will give you a lot of confidence to just mention the things you may be a little bit scared to mention. And I just started, I was on a work trip this week, and I started doing that, and people were asking me questions, and I'm just going to assume you have the language I do and would talk about the same things I talk about. And I was talking about Jesus so much more often than I normally would have.
Wow.
Because I just used that little trick. So you can take that. That's a free one.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is just realize that the first Tuesday in November is a trap. And it's an invitation for you to make an idol out of politics and believe the false gospel that there will be a political savior, and make sure that when that, I mean, this is back to the voter's guide, but make sure when your ballot is on the table in front of you and you're looking at all the pamphlets that you're not believing the lie.
Mm-hmm.
And just that'll be good practice. And you don't have to, I mean, the first Tuesday in November is one thing, but all the other days are good days not to believe the lie either.
Yep. Every day.
In part because, I mean, depending on how the election goes, there are going to be people who believe the lie who are making big, you know, a big mess of things. And
their idol just lost.
Their idol just lost, and Christians are going to be tempted to go along.
Right.
And I just thought it was worth reminding you not to believe the false gospel and not to make it an idol.
Yep. Well, I hope that's helpful review for everybody, because tomorrow's coming and it's not an election day. And we hope you have your hope in the kingdom of God and make your tribe the church and not anything else. So we just want to give you those reminders and that review before that happens. And we may, today's election day, I don't know what's going to be happening in the next several weeks, but we may take a break for a little while and see how things shake out and see what would be a helpful episode or helpful content along the way. But to not miss those things, don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and rate us. If you find what we're doing helpful, a review goes a long way to getting this to other people. Share it with a friend. It could even be, hey, did you vote? I listened to this. And doesn't have to be connected either. You just send it on election day. If you have questions, send them to comment@cityonahillpodcast.com. And we look forward to the next conversation.